welcome back to episode 2 of The Cylinder Rule. I am Danny. Alongside me is my brother Frank. And today we've got a lot to talk about. Final Four, Coach Cal to Arkansas, a lot of stuff to go over. We'll get into all of it. But first we're going to start with the Final Four. As most of you watching probably know, UConn wins back-to-back championships. The first team since 06-07, Florida.
Who cheated?
They did, bringing back all 5 starters. Kind of an uneventful Final Four. All 3 games were determined with half of the second half remaining. But yeah, this just kind of shows how dominant UConn's been all year. And we saw it in the second half against Purdue. Zach Edey started off the game super hot. Couldn't really do anything down the stretch. But we'll go back to Saturday for the Final Four games. First, we'll talk about the first game on the slate, Purdue NC State, the battle of the bigs, DJ Burns and Zach Edey. And DJ just wasn't big enough. He met a bigger guy.
Yeah, I think going into this game, everyone was kind of saying, like, we love DJ. He's our guy. He's America's hero right now, or at least he was. But Purdue didn't have to double DJ Burns at all. They could just have Zach Edey go man-on-man. And so he was unable to pass out of those double teams. DJ Burns also not known for his defense, which people knew would be a problem because Zach Edey is a foul merchant. Yeah, not really close. Sad to see NC State's kind of magical run come to an end, but they should still be very proud of the season they had, even though it sounds very much like loser talk.
Yeah, and it definitely didn't help having their point guard, Aiden O'Connell. He tweaked his hamstring, I think, lower leg in the first half, and I think that just kind of made them go all out of sorts. I'm not saying they would have won the game, but I think it would have been a little closer. But moving on to the second game, Alabama, UConn, and for the first half, this one was relatively close, and we talked about on the last episode that Alabama needed to just huck and make a bunch of threes, and in the first half, they did that. Mark Sears was an absolute animal in that game, mini Jalen Brunson, and Grant Nelson, in the losing effort, might have had the dunk of the tournament.
Yeah, that was...
second, we'll get into the best.
That was crazy. I'll give you guys a little peek behind the curtain. Danny and I were watching this game in separate rooms, and from another room in my apartment, I heard him go, oh my God, super loud as Grant Nelson threw down kind of a ridiculous dunk for his appearance, I would say. I didn't know he had that kind of athleticism in him.
Yeah, he's got a little bounce. He's got a little pizzazz to him.
a little razzmatazz.
Yeah, and in the second half, per UConn standards, they just ran away with it. Defense tightened down. They have so many guys who are capable of scoring on their own. They play such good team basketball, and yeah, it wasn't really close after that. And then, obviously, Monday's game, kind of the same story. Purdue, well, I should say Zach Edey and friends, kept it close.
Yep.
In the first half and in the second half, UConn's like, okay, if we just stop this guy, we'll win. And then Donovan Klingon's like, word? And then they did it, and that was just kind of how it's been all year.
Yeah, UConn, throughout the entire tournament, just went in with the mindset like, hey, we're better than you, and then proved it time and time again. No doubt deserving of this national championship. Congrats to Dan Hurley and the boys. 3 in a row, potentially?
Potentially. We'll see. We'll see what the future is like, and that kind of brings us to our next point. Coach Cal, the vacancy. He is leaving the University of Kentucky after 15 seasons, previously at Memphis, and then before that, UMass. The last couple of seasons have been disappointing, I would say, for a program like Kentucky. For any other school, that would be a great stretch, but not every school is Kentucky. So I think it was in the works for a long time, having a couple of disappointing postseason appearances in a row, and it happened all of a sudden. We saw Mus leave for USC, and then the Arkansas job was open, and here we are.
Yeah, super weird. I know I definitely didn't expect Cal to leave. The first thing I want to say is, Danny Sprinkle, don't leave.
Yeah, please, let's not. I really don't feel like doing this all over again.
Don't. Whatever money this podcast makes, we will put in a fund for you. Big guy, don't leave. I don't think I could take it. I think I'll give up watching sports if that happens. And again, we're going to see it. All the recruits who were previously committed to Kentucky, they're probably out. It's just college sports are so weird now. Coaches move around all the time. Obviously, players move all around all the time. But yeah, who do you think is going to be the next coach at Kentucky? Who's going to fill Cal's shoes?
Well, some of the names kind of fluttering around right now. 2 coaches who played in this Final Four. Nate Oates from Alabama, who seems to be the favorite thus far. And then kind of a long shot, I think he just denied it in a press conference after the game. Danny Hurley. They're probably going to give him a call, but he would. Unless they drop an absolute bag, I can't see him going anywhere. Those are two big names that come to mind. But one name that's kind of flying under the radar that nobody's really talking about, Mike Hopkins.
See, that would be awesome. I think Mike would be the perfect guy to fill Cal's shoes. I know everyone at Kentucky would love to see some 2-3 zone.
They have the athletes for it.
I think he's a proven winner. Two of the better players on the team last year were Kentucky transfers. Coincidence?
Right. They were.
So, yeah, I would like to see it, personally, and see Hop have some success, because that would just be so weird, to say the least.
Yeah, and as UW sports fans, it would be really, you know, sad and disappointing to see Hop stuck in assistant coach purgatory for the rest of time. So giving him one more shot, especially at a blue blood program like that, which I know he would do absolute work at, would be super fun. But in all seriousness, the top candidate, probably Nate Oates.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that goes. And, yeah.
I think you're forgetting one other person, and I'm going to announce it, I guess. First time anyone's hearing this, I would like to throw my hat in the ring for the Kentucky job.
You, Frank, what would you bring to the table
for the Kentucky job? I think I am a leader of men. I think I bring a winning culture to a locker room.
Okay.
I think that athletes would really respond. I have a couple of successful coaching seasons in other sports under my belt. I don't know why basketball, especially college basketball, would be any different. I've certainly watched a lot of basketball. So if Kentucky, you guys can't find anybody, let me know. I'll do it for much cheaper than anyone else you would hire. And I can relate to the guys a lot more.
Yeah, you just heard it here first. Breaking news. Frank has been considering himself for the Kentucky job.
Uh-huh. There's a non-zero chance that I'm the next Kentucky head coach.
That is true.
So
putting your hat in the ring.
Yep. That's all I can do at this point.
Speaking of more college basketball, I talked about Muss going to USC, and another USC star, Bronny James, who we talked about a little bit on the last episode, has entered the draft, kind of.
Yeah, so what does that mean? Like, explain.
So I think he is putting his name in the draft, but he is maintaining eligibility. So if he does not get picked, he will enter the transfer portal, I believe, most likely. So I think it just depends on which team is desperate enough, you know, to draft him so they can get his father, LeBron. And Frank, from your perspective, what NBA team do you think fits that mold of someone, some owners like, hey, we got to put butts in seats. Let's get Bronny James.
If I am any team at the bottom of the standings, so right now it looks like Pistons, Wizards, Hornets in the Eastern Conference, and then Spurs are a little bit out of that range, but obviously with the lottery, a lot could change on draft night. If I'm those—
You're saying lottery, not even late second round.
Yeah, hear me out. I wouldn't do it as a GM. Again, if any team wants me to be their GM, I could also do that too. If you're a team that hasn't seen success ever, like the Hornets, why wouldn't you draft Bronny and get his dad? There's no reason not to. The odds of them drafting someone who's going to end up being a bust anyway is pretty high. Even if Bronny's not an NBA player, which I don't think he is at all, you get LeBron for 1 year, it's going to sell tickets. You're going to probably be a playoff team. It's going to give you relevance for at least 1 year. If you're a team, yeah, exactly, like the Hornets, they haven't done anything. I would definitely take a shot.
Now, you think for a team like that, it's worth being like 35-47 and being the 10 seed in the East and then being awful for the foreseeable future just to get LeBron for a year?
Yes, I think so. Because how sick would those LeBron Hornets jerseys be?
That's a valid point.
And then him and Bronny would probably do something really cute where they had like kind of matching numbers but not really, and then he would probably do the little like powder thing before the game, and then Twitter would explode and be like, he's just like his dad. And I'm here for it. I want that to be the reality, and like you said, them be like a play-in team. That would be cool.
That would be cool, seeing father son. But realistically, I don't see him getting drafted. And if he like, I'm just, you know,
uh-huh,
straight shooting here. Nothing really moves the needle for me. He is a good athlete, but isn't really exceptional.
Is he really a good athlete, though?
He is. Yes, he is. I will stand on that.
He's better than us, but is he a good athlete?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
But a lot of those guys are good athletes.
But, like, good athlete in that tier.
Got it.
Not comparing him to us. Comparing him to us,
he's an all-right athlete.
Yeah.
Got it.
Which brings me to kind of my next point, Bronny's NBA draft comparison. Now, we both received a very comedic text from our dear uncle the other day, who sent a meme comparing Bronny to Giannis's older brother, Thanasis Antetokounmpo, who's a little bit of a meme himself. And all it said was Bronny's draft comparison. Frank, how accurate do you think that is?
Pretty accurate. I was thinking these last couple days about who it would be, and every player I came up with in my head was better than Bronny. So I don't know what you could even say. Like, what is he? He doesn't do anything at an NBA level where you're like, wow, at least that will play.
So what archetype do you think he'd be? 3-D?
That's what he has to be. That's his
slasher.
His absolute ceiling would be, yeah, a 3-D role player, bench guy. And you're like, okay, it's kind of fun that we have LeBron's son on our team. I don't see him ever being a star. I don't know if he has that dog in him. In fairness, though, he is still like a college kid, you know?
He's only a freshman. And that kind of puts things in perspective, especially in this era of kids going to the draft after 1 year and the overtime elite and the G League Ignite, which is disbanding, by the way, Frank.
Yeah, thank God.
Probably to your amusement.
Yeah, what a stupid idea. And we'll get to it later in the show, but we're going to do Jalen Green or not Jalen Green again, and that's kind of where it all stemmed from. I think it would have been a mistake if Bronny would have gone that route instead of going to USC. I think what would be best for Bronny is to transfer to UW, but then second would be to transfer to like a mid-major school and just continue to get better. I think it's so unfair that he has his dad's expectations placed on him, because there's no way he's going to be able to live up to that.
Yeah.
And his dad's not really putting him in a very advantageous spot either. Like, remember that tweet from a couple months ago where he was like, Bronny's better than a lot of these dudes playing tonight, when he was watching NBA on an off night?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, and I mean,
that's a tough look.
Yeah, it's nice to have confidence in your son, but that's kind of a, you know. Yeah. All right. I think we've done our due diligence for the college basketball part of this show, and we'll move on to the UW sports part of the show.
Hooray.
Yes, a tale of two stories here. We'll start with the bad side. UW baseball in a series that they needed one.
They needed more than one.
They needed so much more, and they got swept by a mediocre USC team who has been playing well as of late, but started the season 6-11, and it's gone from bad to worse.
Yeah, so what do you think is the problem? I mean, we talked a little bit about it last Thursday. The bats, the pitching, super inconsistent. But after this weekend, is there anything else that's more glaring?
I just think, like you said, they're inconsistent. They can't put things together on a given night. They can't have good pitching and good run support with quality bullpen performances on any given night. And I think that's a problem, especially when none of those areas are particularly elite.
Mm-mm.
Where you can't really rely on one of those to carry you. They're all just kind of okay. I'd say the best would be the bullpen so far this year. Starting pitching, probably second, and then I'd have to say the lineup is third.
Yeah.
They're averaging right around 5 runs a game, and in college baseball, that's not really going to win you many. So, yeah, I think it's just not being able to put all three together, even two of the three together, in a singular game in a Pac-12 that's always competitive in baseball. It's going to be really tough to be competitive down the stretch.
And those run numbers look even worse when you consider that Husky Ballpark is a hitter-friendly park. The wind carries, like, what should be warning track shots out consistently, and it seems like guys just can't put the ball in the air. Defensively, they've been pretty rough. Yeah, I mean, the season is long, and like we talked about, baseball is a sport where if you get hot at the right time, anything can happen, but it is not looking that great right now. What was such a fun team last year is a very sad team this year.
Yeah, and is Jason Kelly on the hot seat? Do you think he has anything, you know, not to do with it, because obviously it's not all his fault, but do you think there's something that he could change that he needs to do, or do you think it's more of a player thing?
I think he's tried, but, I mean, you have more connections with the team than I do, and you were telling me that he was very frustrated that guys think they're big leaguers when they're barely succeeding at the college level, and I think that's a mindset that is slowly creeping down the baseball chain. I know we saw it a lot in high school with guys who thought they were going like D1 and they were going to be great, and they just don't have that work ethic or that chip on their shoulder. And it sucks to hear about your own team, but I'm sure it's true. I mean, all those guys grew up playing shortstop and being the best player on their team, and then when things get hard, it's hard for them to face that adversity. So I wouldn't blame Kelly. Who I would blame, though, is Coach Kalen DeBoer. I think I'm just going to blame DeBoer for baseball and then move on. Thoughts?
I think that's fair.
Yeah. I think for the rest of 2024, I'm just going to blame all of UW's disappointments in any sport on Kalen DeBoer, and we'll just reset next year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. One good thing about the baseball team, though, they do have a 3.37 cumulative GPA.
Yeah, so... which is cool, right? But also, guys, you might want to just have other people do it for you and, like, start hitting better.
Yeah, focus on the baseball.
Like, 337 is higher than I would like it to be.
You'd want right around that 3-1 to 3 mark.
Yeah, we want you guys passing, but we also want you hitting the baseball. You know what I mean? So
a nice balance.
Again, I know I'm applying to a lot of verbal jobs here, but if any of you guys need me, I got you. I will happily help out the team if it means more wins.
And another academic success, Frank, your favorite basketball player here at the University of Washington, Wilhelm Breidenbach, also made the Dean's List last quarter.
Well, congrats to Wilhelm. That rocks, dude. Again, maybe just ease on the school and try to, like, hit the bench press or something. But yeah, congrats, Wilhelm. Maybe I'll get your jersey. Maybe not. That'd be so sweet in, like, 15 years, rocking a Wilhelm Breidenbach jersey.
Yeah, would be very niche. I could almost guarantee that nobody outside of his immediate family would have one. So.
Yeah, I don't even think his family likes him, so it'd probably just be me.
All right, moving on to the better half of UW ball, UW softball. They are an absolute wagon.
Yeah.
26-7, ranked 10th according to D1Baseball.com. 10-5 in the Pac-12. They are just kicking a lot of butt right now.
Yeah, they're good. They were really good last year. You love to see it. At least there's some spring sport we get to be excited about. Yeah, if softball can make a deep run, I am on board. I will be there. In spirit, obviously. I don't think they'll let me travel. Fourth job application. Any of the ladies need me to do their homework too. I am willing. Just hit me up.
Yeah, I don't think they would need your help as much because I think they're hitting the ball just fine right now. Oh,
okay.
Which brings me... to kind of a interesting point. Do you think me and you could get a base knock in a softball game?
No.
Yes, I agree. All of you out there saying you could, unless you have legitimate high school and above baseball experience, no, you could not.
I do think I could get hit by a pitch, though.
Just take one?
I think I could lean in.
Lean in?
A little Craig Biggio.
Yeah.
I think I could get on first base.
Yeah. What about this? What about, you saw the Dude Perfect video the other week. Do you think you could make contact?
Yeah. I could. I would lay down a bunt.
Okay.
It would go foul. I would strike out bunting on, but I would make contact.
Yeah, yeah. So we both agree that we cannot get hits, but contact is a reasonable goal.
I would say probably contact on a good day. Definitely no contact if it's worse than a great day. So.
And with the way our baseball team is performing, do you think you could get a hit against one of our pitchers on the baseball team?
Still no, but I would put the odds the same as softball probably.
Yeah.
Those guys like to just hang sliders.
Do you think you could draw a walk?
Oh, definitely. I just wouldn't take the bat off my shoulder.
Yeah.
Yep.
So chances of getting on base in softball or baseball, which one's higher?
I'm going to go with softball because the ball is bigger.
Okay.
Which means I could lean in more obviously and get hit by a pitch.
So you're thinking your chances of getting hit by a pitch and leaning in are more than drawing a walk.
Yeah, the Evo Shield would be very extended, and I would get on first base.
See, I'd have to disagree with you there.
Interesting.
I think, you know, the way our boys have been pitching, I think I saw the other day that we had 6 walks in 4 innings.
Oh,
so
man.
Would you like to reconsider your opinion after that?
Yes. Set? Yes. Still not taking the bat off my shoulder. Especially if they think I'm a threat to swing, I'm good.
Okay. If they didn't know that you were just a guy off the street, that they thought you were an actual player.
Well, because if they saw me in the box, they'd be like, this guy probably rakes. Okay. So I would get the walk for sure.
All right. More women's sports talk. The Women's Basketball National Championship. Caitlin Clark is really, really good, but South Carolina is also really, really good.
Yeah, South Carolina had a crazy season this year. They went undefeated, right?
Yeah, 38-0.
Insane. In any sport, if you go undefeated, that's like crazy because, yeah, especially in a sport like basketball where teams like Alabama could just get hot from three. South Carolina did it. But, yeah, you're right. Caitlin Clark, very good.
Yeah, for South Carolina, first time going undefeated in school history, the first non-UConn team to do it, I think, since 2012 Baylor, I think. I'm pretty sure I'm right on that one. I think Tennessee did it back in the late 90s. But, yeah, just an unbelievable accomplishment. And it kind of goes to show that women's basketball is in an awesome spot right now. Mm-hmm. Especially because you see all the discourse on Twitter about, you know, Caitlin Clark and if she's the next go, and you see Diana Taurasi kind of getting all offended about her coming into the WNBA. And I think that's good for the league. I think a lot of people are going to want to watch what she does next season in the WNBA.
Yeah, no, definitely. Going back to your point, the 2012 Baylor team went 34-2.
Well, that's 2012-2013, Frank.
The year before, I'm just going to say you're right. Okay. Because Google is not loading. So we'll just say Danny's right. No, Caitlin Clark, dog, officially. Like, man, watching her.
She just moves at a different speed than everyone else on the court.
You can tell how great she is. Like it's
noticeable.
It is noticeable. Like you said, she's moving faster than everybody else. She makes a lot of shots, which sounds obvious, but even in the men's game, guys like to miss a lot of shots.
Yeah. College misses. Would you like to explain to the listeners your definition of a college miss?
Yeah, so a college miss is a shot that goes towards the rim, but doesn't really hit the rim. It'll hit, like, the backboard near it and take a crazy bounce. And that happens a lot.
Yeah, so not missing short or long, missing
wide.
Left or right.
Yeah, and Caitlin Clark does not do that, which is very impressive, especially when being guarded by, I mean, the other team's best player, presumably. Because if the other team's not putting their best defender on her, then that's bad coaching.
Yeah, and that's what South Carolina has so many of. You'd say Caitlin Clark is probably the best player on the court, but 2 through 8 were probably all South Carolina
players. Basketball is a team sport, to remind all of you guys.
So, Frank, this past yesterday, right? Yesterday. You had an interaction with a football player. Would you like to explain?
Sunday morning. Today is Tuesday. Sunday morning, I had finished a morning run past our apartment building. I was dying. I was very out of breath and very sweaty. And I look up and Michael Penix Jr. with his friend, we'll call her, was walking by me. And I got very excited. I do have an awesome past with UW athletes here. Me and Keon Brooks are best friends. Michael Penix walked by me and I gave him a head nod and he nodded back. So I think we're also best friends. But the thing I'm very proud of is that I think it's one of those situations where game respects game.
Yeah.
I think he could tell that I was putting in the work and wasn't afraid of a challenge. And I know he's not either, obviously, with what he did this past football season. And who knows? Maybe we'll have him on the pod. I should have asked in the moment. 5 minutes after the interaction, I was like, I should have asked him to come on our podcast. He probably would have said yes, but you know.
Could you imagine?
We can't.
Our first guest.
Yeah.
Michael Penix.
Michael Penix.
If only. Mike, if you're listening to this, please come on the show.
Yeah.
If you're still in the Seattle area, we'd love to have you. More football player news, or I guess not football player, more football news. Bill Belichick was seen wearing UW football gear recently, and I think for Patriots fans, that's probably what it feels like when Spurs fans saw Tony Parker in, like, the Hornets jersey, or, like, Bulls fans saw MJ in the Wizards jersey, and it's like, what is going on?
Yeah, it was weird. It was super weird, and I kind of don't want to think about it. And, you know, it's with the connection with Steve Belichick, which I also don't know how to feel about that, UW's new defensive coordinator. I mean, I don't know. I'm still kind of too hurt from this winter to think about football. It's softball season, baby, so.
It is, yeah, with, you know, baseball kind of, you know, in the dump right now. Yeah, softball season. I think they can make a run. I really do. I hope they do. So we've reached kind of the end of the show here. And for those listeners who listened to the first episode, you are familiar with the Jalen Green or Not segment. But for those listening for the first time today, I'll kind of explain it. Or you know what? I'll let Frank explain it because this is his segment.
Right on. Okay, so episode 2, we got a lot of feedback from listeners who said they didn't understand what was going on, so I'm going to try to break it down as simply as possible. I feel like the more we do this exercise, listeners will understand the premise. Jalen Green was a first-round lottery pick, a third overall pick. Second or third. Either or. There's no way of knowing, but it's one of those two. And he played for the G League Ignite, and he is a scoring off guard who throws down nasty dunks and can get really hot from three, but is probably not a player that's going to lead a team to a championship. Like, he's not a generational talent like Steph or LeBron.
Second overall pick.
So I got half credit. But I believe that most of the players in the NBA right now are like that. Like, they all come from these academies and play for these semi-pro teams, or I guess G League Ignite. I guess semi-pro? Pro? I don't know.
Pro Junior.
I'm glad the Ignite is gone. But they all play pretty much the exact same way, and it's really frustrating. You don't see a lot of variation in style of play anymore. That's just the way basketball is going. It's a lot of positionless basketball. Guys who can do a lot. But I believe that there's two categories of NBA player. They're either very much like Jalen Green in the sense that they're kind of just generic, athletic young guys who can do fun things, but they're not going to win a lot of games. Or not Jalen Green, which is everybody else. So, Danny.
Yes.
As we were going through the podcast, I thought of one name right off the bat.
Okay.
Bronny James. Jalen Green or not Jalen Green?
This is an intriguing one. Bronny, you know, has never been a scorer. Mm-mm. You know, he's never really prided himself on being, you know, just a guy who's going to go off every night. He also does play defense, maybe to your surprise.
I don't think he does. I think he does. People think he does because he doesn't do offense. But that those two things aren't.
From what I've heard and what I've seen, he does play defense. So I think for those two reasons, I will say he is not Jalen Green. Also for the fact that he is not a top prospect, so I don't think he really falls into that category. But one guy I do think who falls into that category, Frank, correct me if I'm wrong, RJ Barrett. Jalen Green or not?
That's a good one. I think RJ Barrett is Jalen Green. I think he's just old, kind of sad, left-handed Jalen Green.
Okay, that's fair because he is on the unfortunate, he is on the Toronto Raptors now. And he traded midseason.
And he will be forgotten.
He will, yeah. That's where.
Good luck, RJ.
Yeah, going from New York to Toronto is kind of a tough transition.
Can we go back to your Bronny thing for a second?
Sure.
Well, one thing, I can't get off the whole. I'm not saying I could score on Bronny, but like,
who's. Do you think you could?
Who's to. No. Maybe.
Interesting. Why
maybe
do you think that is?
I get a shot up. I would probably score on Bronny, let's be honest, guys.
Okay.
If you know, you know. But, like, who told you he plays defense? His dad? Like,
I've seen it. I watched film.
You watched the tape?
I watched the tape.
You watched the tape of him playing man-on-man?
Yeah.
You think Bronny James could guard Caitlin Clark?
Ooh, that is a great kind of hypothetical.
I don't think so.
Interesting.
I think Bronny James is a little too preoccupied with, like, his dad and other things. He just, again.
He'll get distracted on the court.
Yeah, I just, you know, he's younger than us, which is crazy. And I know what it's like to be a freshman college student, and I just don't see him have that, you know, the same heart as Clark.
Okay. moving on, back to our segment.
One more Jalen Green or not Jalen Green?
Yeah. Because if you don't, I do.
Okay, go for it. Shoot.
Frank, Benedict Mathurin from the Indiana Pacers, Jalen Green or not?
Initially, when he came onto the scene hot last year, not Jalen Green. Now he is Jalen Green. He's just, like, young guy who's going to score some points.
And do a couple cool dunks.
And do a couple cool dunks.
Which I think fits right into your definition of Jalen Green or not.
I'm going to throw one back at you to end the segment. Chris Duarte.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Former Oregon guard.
Yes.
Gross.
He is on the Sacramento Kings now,
I believe.
He is
indeed.
You know, I'm going to say not Jalen Green. I think after his first season in the league, I could have entertained that. But I think two reasons kind of stick out for why he's not. I think the first is that he was a really old college player when he first came into the league.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't fit the stereotype as like an 18, 19-year-old kind of burst on the scene. He's not overly athletic. He is athletic, but he's not overly athletic. And I think he doesn't score enough now. He's just kind of lost in the Kings rotation. And he's not really like a microwave guy either. He's just kind of there.
Microwave is a good term.
Yeah. And he just. She kind of hangs out now on the Kings bench. So, yeah, I don't think he's Jalen Green. At a point in time, he might have been, but now, definitely not.
Do you think I'm a microwave on the court?
I'd say so.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Just very, a microwave that either is like on max power or like turns off completely.
Yeah, yeah. More so than max power. But anyway, enough about me. Anything else?
Yes, we have one new segment this week.
Oh yeah, this is very exciting, everybody.
Yes, it is called Frank's Song of the Week, and I'll give a little preface before we start. My dear brother Frank has a interesting music taste and selection, I'll say. I'll put it. So I think to give the listeners an insight into what Frank's been listening to, we're going to start doing Frank's Song of the Week. So Frank, for the inaugural Song of the Week.
I would like to give my disclaimer first before I get a lot of judgment from those listening, okay?
Okay.
I listen to music when I'm doing two things. This is not a flex, this is just fact, okay? We speak in facts on this show. Running and working out. So the majority of my songs are going to be for that, okay?
Okay. This sounds like...
It sounds like it's going to be bad.
Yeah, it does.
Hopefully it's not problematic. Okay. My first song is not. Don't worry, everybody. It is by, I guess, a metal band, Disturbed.
Yes, that is
they're kind of like new metal, though.
Not really. They've been around for a while.
They've been around?
Yeah, anyway.
Stricken by Disturbed is my song of the week, everybody. That's what I've been listening to when I wake up in the morning. It's the first song I play, so I feel like doing stuff.
Ready to go. Fires you up.
And it helps. I would recommend it if you have problems waking up in the morning. It might be a little intense for some folks, but yeah, I hope you enjoy if you listen on your own time, or don't, because I don't want any judgment from anyone listening.
Yeah, definitely a song I wouldn't advise listening to just like casually walking around or like trying to study.
I don't know. I would disagree. It kind of rocks if you listen to it walking around. Walking around campus, listening to Stricken by Disturbed, you feel like you're better than everybody else.
Okay, well, if you're into that, listen to Stricken by Disturbed if you're just walking around campus. Anyway, that'll do it for episode 2. Thank you again for joining us. Lots to talk about. It was fun to do it for a second week in a row, and hopefully we can keep going. So with that, Frank, do you have any last words?
I actually do. And okay. I'm sorry, that was a very good outro, but I forgot one thing. It's not about music anymore. But thank you to our dear friend Ryan for creating our new logo. I think he did an excellent job, and it's the logo we plan on keeping for a long time. So thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, he gave us a couple of ideas, and we went with the one I think that represents the show best. It's pretty simple, but I think it works. So yeah, thanks again, Ryan. And yeah, we will see you guys next week, hopefully.